Just one scripture to cap what our brother has said in a very practical way. A well-known portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just a very simple thought or two. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We've had much before us in these meetings, and today, in connection with the privilege of being gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we were to go back in the 10th and 11th chapters of 1 Corinthians, we would find that at some length, the Apostle Paul, directed by the Spirit of God, has taken up the subject of the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper. In the chapter before, it's more specifically the Lord's table. And that's why when he talks about the loaf and the cup, it's the cup first and then the loaf. Because the cup speaks to us of the precious blood of Christ. The cup is the ground, speaks to us of the ground of our blessings and our title to be at the Lord's table. And we sometimes sing our title to glory, we read, in thy blood. And what is it that makes us fit, makes us worthy to be at the Lord's table? It is nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The loaf in connection with the Lord's table speaks to us unbroken of every member of the body of Christ. And brethren, I believe it is most important that we keep this in view. This morning we didn't have wafers. We didn't have more than one loaf on the table. We had one loaf. And I trust that in our hearts, every one of us saw in that one loaf every believer alive on the face of the earth this morning. God says there's one body. He views in that unbroken loaf every believer. Not just those who were here on the occasion this morning in this room. Not just those who remembered the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread, expressed the truth of the one body at the Lord's table this morning. No, God saw every believer. And we need to too, lest we become narrow or sectarian in our view. But we find, we didn't read here, but if we find here when he takes up the question of the subject of the Lord's Supper, it's reversed. And this is the way the Lord instituted it in Luke 22 in the upper room, and it's the way we always celebrate it. We find, first of all, the loaf. And that loaf, when it's broken, speaks to us of the Lord's body given in death for us. Then the cup speaks to us of his blood. It's given separate, it's not combined in one, because the separation of the blood from the body was the proof of death. But what I want to point out for my own soul and perhaps for yours this afternoon is this, that everything that has gone before in connection with the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, to my own heart, at least, is summed up in this precious verse that we often read and meditate on. For as often, I want our hearts to meditate on this little expression, as often. I think this is one of the most precious things about being gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is that we have the privilege of remembering the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread. Not just once a month or twice a year or on a special occasion. But if we were to go back through the Acts and the early history of the Lord's people in Christianity, we would find that it very quickly became the exercise and the joy of the early believers to come together on the first day of the week to break bread. In Acts chapter 20, in that dark heathen city of Troas, they came together for that specific purpose. If you read the account there carefully, we find they didn't come together to enjoy happy fellowship with one another, although they did have that privilege on that occasion. They didn't come together to see those who were visiting or listen to the ministry of the Apostle Paul on that particular Lord's Day, although they had that privilege as well. They didn't come together to partake of a meal together, although I suggest they had that privilege also. No, the Spirit of God is very careful to tell us they came together to break bread. And I just picture those dear saints of God, after their duties were performed that day, winding through the dark streets of Troas with one object in view, an upper room where they were going to sit down together and remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread. They were going to have the privilege of partaking of the Lord's Supper at the Lord's table as often. We need this reminder, and we need it often. The Lord not only knew what the hearts of His disciples were like on the occasion when He gathered them in the upper room, but He anticipated what my heart would be like. He knew I was going to need to be reminded of the work of Calvary, and that I was going to be reminded, not just once in a while, but I was going to need it often. And then He says, as often, and I want you to notice this, as ye eat, and as often as ye drink. Some of the young people have heard me say this before, but I'll repeat it. I wish sometimes that the word eat and drink were printed in capital letters in our English Bibles. It is so vital, it is so important. Because I have talked to so many who are young and some who are not so young. And they've said to me, well, I can remember the Lord in my heart. Oh, brethren, it's true. We need to remember the Lord Jesus in our hearts every day. But there is something physical that He has asked us to do to give expression to what is in our hearts. God always gives us a way that we can give testimony or expression to what is in our hearts. And so it says, as often as ye eat and as often as ye drink. I am so saddened. So saddened on occasions like we had this morning, to sometimes look around the room as the loaf and the cup are passed from one to another, and to find those that I know love the Lord Jesus, that I know are washed in the blood of Christ and members of His body, and they do not eat and they do not drink of the loaf in the way that the Lord has asked them to do. You know, the privilege of remembering the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread is something that is only given to us for this life. If the rapture takes place before another Lord's Day, we will not need a loaf and a cup on a table in the Father's house. We're going to see the Lord Jesus face to face. We're going to see the wounds in His hands and in His feet and in His side. That which He is going to retain for all eternity as a fresh reminder of what He accomplished to the glory of God and for our eternal blessing at Calvary's cross. We're not going to need the reminder of a loaf and a cup. The remembrance of the Lord Jesus, the eating and drinking of those emblems are something that is only given to us for this life. And when you look into the face of the Lord Jesus another day, and you didn't eat, you didn't drink, what are you going to tell the Lord Jesus? What excuse are you going to give Him in that day when He says, I made it so simple? A loaf of bread, fruit of the vine. I have had the privilege, the precious privilege, of sitting down with those gathered to the Lord's name in various corners of this world. Over 2,000 years or so since the Lord Jesus took a loaf and a cup in the upper room in Jerusalem. And there on the table in some form, and at very little cost, is a loaf of bread and fruit of the vine. Isn't always in quite the form we had it this morning. But he chose emblems that were so simple. Things that He knew would be obtainable in any part of the world at very little cost, as long as we were left here in this world.
And I know it's slightly out of context, but I often think of that question raised by Naaman's servants so long ago. They said to their master, "If he had asked thee to do some hard thing, wouldst thou not have done it?" Brethren, has he asked us to do some hard thing? Has he asked us to obtain emblems that are costly or hard to find? No, he's made it so very simple and available. And he says, "As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death." We give testimony that we seek to honor the one who was cast out of this world. How long, brethren? Till he come. And he wouldn't say, "till he come," if he wasn't going to provide and maintain a scriptural basis on which to do it. Sometimes people say, "Well, it doesn't matter anymore. Things are in such ruin, it doesn't matter where we remember the Lord or how." But I say again, he would not ask us to do something until he comes if he wasn't going to maintain a scriptural ground, a scriptural basis on which to do it. And as was brought before us the other day, Matthew 18 and 20 still stands. "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of him." And don't you think, in a coming day, when you look into his face and he looks into yours, don't you think there will be a joy, a little understanding, a special something between you and the Lord Jesus, that while you were here in this world that spit in his face and cast him out, you sought to honor that request, to remember him, to eat and to drink of the loaf and the cup, until that day when you see him face to face. I say for my own soul, like Brother Bob, it thrills my soul every time I sit down at the Lord's table. We can't keep ourselves. It's only grace that brings us there. If we find ourselves gathered to the Lord, name of the Lord Jesus Christ, at his table to partake of the Lord's Supper in the breaking of bread, it's only grace, brethren. It is only grace. And it's only grace that preserves us there. But that grace is sufficient to keep us until that day when every believer is around himself to praise him unhindered. What a day that's going to be. May we seek to honor him until he comes.